I want to invite you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And I want to read with you verses 3 through 14. So if you would take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1, where Paul writes, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he prayed for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understand God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we have heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in everywhere, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Well, life is a series of continual choices and decisions, isn't it? There are some that are major decisions, and there are some that are very minor and relatively inconsequential choices that we make. There are some that are pretty clear-cut and some that are not so clear-cut. What college should I attend? Should I even go to college? And what should I pursue? And then, how will I know who to marry? Should I even marry? So a job was offered, but it requires you to go out of state. Should you accept that job? You're thinking about having another child. Well, how do you know? Should you consider adopting? How should you care for your aging parents with all the decisions that you have to make? When should I retire? And what should I be doing with the rest of my life? As I said, life is filled with decisions that we face. Anyone here never have a moment when they just longed for, they just wanted to hear a clear voice from God? They just longed to hear some firm guidance from the Lord? Guidance about a relationship, about treatment for health concerns, about a job, a career, other issues that you have faced in the past or may be facing right now? How can you make a right decision? How can I know what God wants me to do? I don't think that there's a question that's been asked more frequently by so many Christians. How can I know what God's will is? But man, that is so hard sometimes for us to get a sense of what he wishes in so many different kinds of situations. And at times we get a little frustrated. At times we get a little anxious. But that's not really God's intent. Let me just rephrase that. That is not God's intent. God doesn't play hide and seek games with us. He doesn't hide his will and then chuckle as he watches us run through the maze of life. God wants us to know what his desire is. God wants us to know his best intentions for us. Colossians 1:9-10, I mean, these words were written, and they were written for a specific purpose. Paul says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Or in Ephesians 5, verse 17, he writes, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And that's the command. Now, here's the promise. Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you, and I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Well, what I want to do in the next several weeks is to offer a good, sound, sensible, biblical model for discerning God's will and making decisions. Decisions that will honor God's desires for us and His good intentions for us. And I want to begin this morning by offering some perspective on this whole area of decision-making and discerning God's will. Now, for our purposes, there are two aspects to God's will that we have to be aware of. There is, first of all, God's revealed will, His revealed will for all people in a general sense. Some theologians refer this to as His universal will because it applies to everyone. And where do we find God's universal will, His revealed will? Well, we find it in the Bible. The Bible is the primary means by which God reveals His will to us. But God also has an unrevealed will for specific situations, which is often called His particular will, because it pertains to the numerous specific decisions that we must make that are unique to our personal situation or our personal circumstances. Now, let me try to explain this. Parents have both a universal will and a particular will for their children. That is to say, there are certain things that they desire for all of their kids, right? So they want good health, they want safety, they want security, they want happiness, they want education. And you could probably identify a number of other things that they would want for everyone in their family, right? And for Christian parents, they certainly want a commitment to the Lord and also a partner in life that shares that commitment. But parents also have particular wishes for each child because they recognize the uniqueness of each child. So parents, for example, don't usually try to influence their children to marry the same type of person, although they may all wish for them to marry, and if not marry, then to have fulfilling relationships with others. Parents will probably not direct their children to the same vocation, although they certainly want their children to be very satisfied in whatever vocation they might choose. They don't want their children and their families necessarily to live in identical homes, but they do want them to live in homes that provide shelter and allow them to nurture their families. And as long as Christian principles are followed, Christian parents can be pleased with any number of possible vocations or mates or homes that each of their children might choose. And it's much the same way, I'm suggesting, with God's relationship with us. There are certain things that God desires, that He wishes for all people. For example, God desires that all of us live holy, God-honoring lives that draw other people to Him and that help make this world a closer reflection of His good intentions for it. The problem is that God has not revealed His will for the many specific decisions that we have to make in life. So, for example, I can't look in the index of my Bible here under M for the name of the person that I'm supposed to be marrying. I can't look under V to try to figure out what vocation I should be pursuing. I can't look under C to figure out what college I should be attending. Well, then what? Well, it all depends on how you view things. A lot of people understand God's will to be a very specific, detailed blueprint that God has laid out for each one of our lives. And our responsibility is to figure out which pathway or which blueprint of all the pathways that we might choose in life is the one that God has, in fact, chosen for us. Now, if we choose rightly, then God will bless us and we're going to be successful. We'll succeed in life. But if we choose wrong, then we'll miss God's will. And then we'll be left to live with the consequences of making these choices that are outside of God's will. And then at every turn in life, we're faced with the nagging question, what if I make the wrong decision? What if I miss out on God's will for my life? What if I blow it? What if I pick the wrong college? What if I choose the wrong job? What if I marry the wrong person? And of course, you can just imagine all of the anxiety that goes along with those questions. It's kind of like the choose your own stories that Kevin DeYoung, a pastor and author, suggests. He talks about these storybooks in which you get to a certain turning point as the narrative unfolds, and then you have the option of choosing the ending. So if you want to choose one particular ending, you go to this particular page. If you want to choose another ending, you go to another page. And so as you're reading this story, if you want to flee the country, you go to page 31. If you want to hide in a cave, you go to page 52, only to find out that the cave is located on the side of a volcano, and oops, you die. You've made the wrong choice. Well, that can be a lot of fun if you're reading just for reading's sake, but not so much if that's how God's will works. A lot of people think that God has a particular college for them to attend, that he has a particular career to pursue, that he has a particular spouse for us to marry. And our job, of course, would be to find out what that college is and what that job or career or vocation is and who that person is that we need to be marrying. And we dare not make the wrong decision, or else we'll be outside of God's will for our lives. Do you know what it is to go through that soul-searching process, making a decision, and then to be filled with fear and anxiety that somehow you might make the wrong decision? So God gives us clues, they say. He uses people, he uses circumstances, he uses peace of mind, for example, and then we need to sort through all of this, right? We need to figure this out. We need to finally make a decision and hope that it's the right decision. And in their minds, God's will is like a corn maze where there is one way out and a lot of dead ends. Or it's like a bullseye. You know, God's will is in the middle. And unless you hit that bullseye, everything else is going to miss the mark. Well, you need to know, I need to know, we all need to know that God is not in the business of playing games with us, particularly when it comes to our desire to live within His will. As I study the Bible, nowhere do I find evidence of the idea that there is one particular decision that I need to make in every problem and every issue that comes our way, and that God will withhold His blessing from us until we make that one and only decision that fits His very specific blueprint for our lives. I want to suggest something that is, in fact, quite different. I want to suggest that as long as we live within God's revealed will in Scripture, we have astonishing freedom to make particular decisions in our unique situation and in our unique circumstances. If we're committed to living under God's authority, if we're obedient to His revealed will in the Bible, God gives us lots of freedom to make choices as long as they don't violate or are in conflict with what He has already said to us in His Word. And in giving us this freedom, He is honoring the fact that we were created in His image as persons with thinking minds, very capable of discernment and good judgment, and not as puppets on a string. God's specific will for our lives is a lot like a compass, not so much like a detailed roadmap. It's more like a compass that sets the direction and points our lives in the right way. So whether you go to College A or College B, whether you choose to serve as a dentist, a lawyer, a teacher, a stay-at-home dad or mom, whether you choose to marry Andy or John or Mary or Janelle, you still remain under the umbrella of God's will. I think many of us put way too much pressure on ourselves thinking about God and His will, and thinking that God can only be pleased with one specific direction and one specific decision. I find this when I do a premarital counseling sometimes, and then the couples will look with horror at me when I tell them that they could have married any one of several people and still be within God's will, as if there was only one person on the whole planet with which they could be happily married. God doesn't have one person selected for us to marry whom we must somehow find. There are any number of people that we could choose to marry, if you choose to marry at all. And as long as we entrust our lives to God, and as long as we are seeking first God's kingdom and His righteousness, whatever choices we make are made within the freedom that God allows us. Whatever choices we make are made within His will. David wrote, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Take delight in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. This verse simply means that if a person's goal in life is to truly delight and honor God, if that is this person's first desire, then that desire can be lived out no matter what vocation I choose. That desire can be lived out no matter what college, no matter what person I choose to marry. God is not so small And he is not so static that he can bless us in just one decision that we might make. Our God is bigger than that, far bigger than that. In fact, God often chooses to move in response to the decisions that we make in the freedom that he gives us as we strive to live by his word and honor him. Now, none of this is to say that God doesn't provide us with guidance as we try to exercise discernment and good judgment. He does. And in the next several weeks, we're going to be taking a look at some concrete and very practical steps which you and I can use to help make sound, God-honoring decisions. But know that if you're living under God's authority, if you're obedient to what God has already revealed to us in his word and the principles within his word, if we follow the provisions that God has given us to make wise decisions, and if you and I have been praying throughout, we can be confident that God will bless our decisions. In fact, we'll discover that without our awareness, God has been guiding us behind the scenes all along as we have been making our choices, as we have been making our good decisions. Now, let me ask you, have you been able to look back in the past, look back over the course of your life? As you look back in some of your more reflective moments, have you been able to see the hand of God in the decisions and in the events that have occurred in your life? Though I could have married another person, I suppose, when I look back, it's clear to me that my choice was God's will. When I had three calls at the same time to pastor three different churches, it was not nearly as clear to me then as it would become once I settled into my work with one of those churches. So often, we can look back and see God involved in our choices all along. And that ought to give us confidence when we make our choices in the present. Well, of course, there is so much more that needs to be said and will be said. Next week, we're going to continue our exploration of this topic and get a little bit more practical. Now, would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. And it's our prayer that as we continue to explore what it means to be living in your will and to make decisions that honor you and your good intention for our lives, I pray that you will give us insight and the ability to hear your voice, that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, that we may learn from you. Above all, Lord, I just want to affirm with everybody listening this morning that it is our desire to live lives which honor you and which enable us to be the people that you've called us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be kind and gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Amen.